Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
All right. You ready to get the show on the road? Okay, the 2024 NFL Draft is now underway. The Chicago Bears are now on the clock.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm. Sure. Stay calm!
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Well, it's a very exciting day. It's the first day in forever where we're going to be able to say that the Bears have Caleb Williams as their quarterback.
But wait, there's more.
With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington.
Rome, if you want to. Rome around the world. Let's go back to Rome. I want to hear from any excuse to hear the big B-52.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Good morning, guys. Love the show. Bears.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ryan Poles held up his arms like a modern-day Charlton Heston. And the draft separated, and it moved the waters, and the draft came to the Bears. And all they had to do was sit there and get those two players, Mr. David. What a glorious morning in the fine city of Chicago.
Good morning, Mully. Yes, Friday it is, and last night it was a historic night. Welcome back to NFL Relevance, Chicago. Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, drafting both of those guys at 1 and 9, respectively, I think qualifies as the best case scenario. The best case scenario for the Chicago Bears and the Bears fans. Ryan Poles didn't try to overthink it. He grasped the obvious. Caleb was there for the taking, and Rome Odunze fell into his lap. This was a great night for the organization.
The Bears drafted touchdowns. Let's put it that way. They got themselves an offense and an offensive-minded draft. They got themselves the signal caller, maybe the generational guy, maybe the franchise player they've been searching for since all of us can remember, for as long as anybody out there can remember. I'm not sure, maybe Sister Jean was around the Sid Luckman days. That's about it. And well, then Rome Odunze, you get yourself a guy that catches touchdowns. You got production in your passing game. The Bears now have a modern offense, Mr. Davis.
I was going to ask you, which generational player are you talking about?
Yeah.
If you were going into this draft without having the number one overall pick and not being able to take the quarterback you've never had, you would look at someone drafting Rome Odunze number 9, and they would feel like they have a wide receiver who's going to be the focal point of the passing game for years to come. And he could be that guy. The beauty of it is he doesn't have to be that guy immediately.
Right.
And when we talk about developing quarterbacks, yeah, that is what everybody's going to focus on. But there's also developing other positions, and wide receivers, one of them. He can learn from two guys who are highly accomplished, a future Hall of Famer in Keenan Allen and a Pro Bowl player in DJ Moore. And now Rome Odunze can fit where he needs, and he can play a lot of different roles. And when you hear these guys talk, and when you listen to both of their press conferences, as we did last night, and their new Bears, you get excited and you understand Ryan Poles does have traits that he looks for, and character is near the top of the list because both guys communicated very well. You got to be thrilled for both those players and for the fans, because this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sitting there last night and I'm watching this draft unfold. And I am, doing what I said I do. I'm tearing up some sheets and boiling some water. I'm trying to get this thing. Just let it fall to you. You don't even have to do any work. Just take the obvious choices. And I'm watching it, and it's like, oh, here we are. We're on the fifth pick. This has gone 1, 2, 3, 4 perfectly. Oh, Joe Alt. Okay. okay, I thought maybe that's a spot for a trade down. I thought maybe something crazy is going to happen with the Chargers. No, it's okay. And then Malik Nabers goes to the Giants, and I was like, oh, so the Giants are locked in on the quarterback, and they're going to help the quarterback. I didn't see that one coming. I thought maybe that was a spot where the surprise would hit. But no, and so it keeps going, and you're like, all right, and there goes the seventh pick in the draft, and you're looking at your guys and who's on the board, and Atlanta comes up, and then the whole thing. Like, you could hear, like, a collective sigh, and you could hear a ripping of sheets as everybody's mock is destroyed with the choice of Michael Penix Jr.
Or laughter. Or
well,
laughter.
I mean,
because you know what?
Did you see that coming?
No. Who saw that coming? That was the most idiotic pick in the first round. What are you doing?
Well, we'll see.
Well, what are you doing?
I mean, you know what they're doing.
I know what they're doing.
They're putting Kirk Cousins on the clock.
Kirk Cousins.
They just gave him $100 million.
How do you pay? What would Kirk Cousins sign a contract for? $140 million? Over $100 million.
Guaranteed for 2 years, you $100 million.
Invest in Kirk Cousins. We'll break away from the Bears' euphoria for one moment, because this was enough to address.
That was a screeching halt.
Kirk Cousins signs with the Atlanta Falcons for over $100 million.
Yeah.
You lock him. He's 35 years old, coming off an Achilles injury. Let's give him the guaranteed $100 mil anyway. You pass on Bill Belichick as your coach, because you know what? Raheem Morris, he's just a fascinating young defensive mind. Let's go away from the best coach of all time. And then, by the way, on draft night, when we have other needs that might help our 35-year-old quarterback succeed this year, let's draft his replacement.
Michael Penix Jr. is like 24.
What are you doing?
He's like a mature young quarterback. But now, does he wait for 2 years, or is Kirk out the door with all the money? You thought for sure.
Bizarro.
Here comes the first defensive player. You know, are they going to go for Dallas Turner?
Or
maybe they'll do that.
A trade.
Or maybe they trade down. Maybe is that the spot that they trade that pick, and is that where J.J. McCarthy goes? And because of what they did, J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner both wind up in Minneapolis. What the hell is that?
Vikings had a good draft. Vikings had a very good first round. We'll get to that later. But
where the whole thing, like, grab the wheel.
It was a shocker. And I think from a Bears perspective, as Ryan Poles was sitting there at Hallis Hall internalizing all of it, he had to be somewhat relieved and excited in all of the anticipation of being able to draft who he wanted. So this had to be plan A. This had to be plan A at Hallis Hall.
No question.
Because we talk about and had fun with all the scenarios. Well, you could move up to get Marvin Harrison Jr. You could move down if you feel like you could accumulate picks. But in their perfect world,
all they had to do was nothing.
They had to do nothing, and I think this is the way they wanted it. This had to be the way they wanted it, because you know that they have not just the talent and the traits and all the things that Roma Dunze offers, but there is this kind of unexpected chemistry that has been instant between Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. That's a bonus to this. So there are football reasons to like it. There are chemistry reasons to love it. And there's everything about it that represents plan A for the Bears. They executed it perfectly.
Yeah, it was really something else. The eighth pick in the draft is where the whole thing went to hell. And, and then, you know, you knew you had your guy, and it was just a question of trying to calm down and keep your pulse straight.
Deep breaths, everybody. And I think I said diehard Falcons fans, but there are none. They would have to be disappointed.
Yeah, they're all transferred in there. Anybody? I did that once. I walked around Atlanta, asked people where they're from. There's no one from Atlanta in Atlanta.
So how much outrage could there be, really?
I don't know.
Michael Penix Jr. is going to be a very probably solid NFL quarterback. I just wish he would go to a place where that'd be more obvious sooner.
It's just crazy.
Maybe they'll be.
I mean, doesn't he have to wait 2 years? I'm just saying. Like, they did give Kirk Cousins that money.
Well, did you see Kirk Cousins' reaction? His agent said he's confused.
Yeah,
and he was, and they didn't even share what he had to say because they probably couldn't.
Yeah, even Kirk cussed.
Was he at a draft party?
Did
they do that to him?
They rolled him downtown. But it was one of those moments where you just kind of like, huh? It was crazy. And, yeah, but the Bears get Roma Dunze and the rest of it. I mean, the Bears won the draft by not doing anything, by taking the players that fell to them that were there and that were obvious. And I thought they did a great job of just holding their water.
They were in a position to win the draft as much as they could win the draft. You could debate, the Vikings and some other teams got what they wanted, but I think the Bears, if you're looking at teams that improved themselves in the first round more than anybody else, the Bears are at the top of that list.
Vikings hit it out of the park.
They did.
Just look at the names, right? I mean, to get J.J. McCarthy, they traded up one spot with the Jets, but they got the quarterback that they desperately needed. Mm-hmm. And they don't need him right away. And he comes into a situation where you've got two, excellent wide receivers. Aaron Jones is there now. You got Kevin O'Connell, who knows what he's doing with the quarterback. That is a really nice situation for the local kid made good, pride of LaGrange Park, J.J. McCarthy, to go into. I was pleased for him. I was stunned when they ended up getting Dallas Turner, too, who a lot of people thought could be the first
defensive player off the board.
He kept dropping.
Oh, Molly, there were 14 straight offensive players taken.
Right.
Historic in that way as well. And then the Colts take Latu off the board with the first defensive player, a risk for Chris Ballard down in Indy. But then Dallas Turner still on the draft board, and the Vikings essentially replaced Kirk Cousins and Danielle Hunter with J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner.
That's incredible.
That's getting younger and cheaper.
That's good.
That's good front office management.
That's a good draft. They did well. I was just thinking about the quarterbacks now in the NFC North. You know, Jerry Goff, he came out and, what he did his thing at the microphone. The players, hey, Jerry, they made the crowd cheer for him. And then he got up there. It was very funny because I'm watching this with my wife because it's in Detroit. She's from Detroit. So we're sitting in front of the TV, and he gets up there, and he's like, yeah, Detroit! And she's like, oh, so that's all football players. That's just Travis Kelce.
Yeah. No, that's a football thing.
Her football information has been informed by Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
Yeah.
So I laughed out loud at that.
That's sad.
Because everybody was just like, yeah.
Yeah. I just got one thing to say. Yo.
Yo.
Come on.
Come up and say something.
Don't you have something else?
It was hilarious.
Maybe profound.
It was totally the Kelce brothers.
Barry Sanders tried.
Yeah.
He tried to be a little bit more eloquent or measured. But
you're showing him who we are. Yeah, but it was tough.
It was tough.
It was very funny.
Eminem was funny.
Eminem was hilarious. I saw an advertisement earlier on the NFL Network, earlier in the day. It might have been yesterday. I've been watching a lot of NFL Network. And Stacey Dowell has been phenomenal, by the way. And hopefully we'll talk to her. We're trying to connect with her later in the program. But it was super cool because Eminem is sitting there with Roger, and Eminem looks at him. And he's like, "Are you trying to get street cred?" And Roger is like, "Yeah. Can you help me?" And he says, "No." He gave him a Stony style no.
And you know what was funny too is that later, when they were talking on the stage, and he refers, he goes, "Well, M."
Yeah, M. He called him M.
Oh my gosh,
Marshall.
That was awkward, but I think it was almost intended to be awkward. Did you see how many people were there just crowded into that space?
Something else.
Oh, my gosh. Detroit can throw a party.
Yeah,
And it was crazy that the Lions, then they move up. They had a pretty good first round because they were motivated to get their cornerback.
Hey, they got a good corner.
They did.
That's a hell of – for a team that needed a cornerback fairly desperately because they had to cut a guy in the offseason, and one of their guys, they also had to – pay through the nose during free agency. They ended up with a guy that you thought would go a lot higher.
Terrion Arnold from Alabama. They move up with the Cowboys, and take him at 24. The Packers followed up with taking Jordan Morgan, an offensive tackle from Arizona, at 25.
Right.
So the division, as we'll continue to talk about it, you always feel pretty good. I think unless you're the Falcons, maybe the Broncos and the Bills, you feel pretty good about your first round.
Bills.
What are they doing?
The Bills just refused to take a receiver.
They refused to take a receiver. And then, oh, by the way, Kansas City, we're going to give you the spot where you can take the guy that's going to make you tougher for us to beat.
The fastest player in the world.
Xavier Worthy. And he
fastest 40 time.
He's their mini Tyreek Hill now.
Yeah.
He's a
yeah.
Tyreek Hill replacement 2 years later.
Incredible.
So I don't know what the Bills were thinking. I don't know what the Broncos were thinking overpaying for Bo Nix at
that
spot.
I don't know if he can catch, but he can fly.
He can get open.
He's going to fly.
Yeah.
And they got a guy who can get it to him. But, yeah, you're right. The Bills, super weird because they desperately need a wide receiver, and they passed on two.
And help me understand the rationale. I know Bo Nix is got some potential, and I know quarterbacks go crazy in the first round. Six of them went. But what were the Broncos thinking taking Bo Nix at that spot in the draft rather than moving down where they probably still could have gotten him?
The Broncos are so desperate for a quarterback.
The Raiders? Desperate. Thinking the Raiders might take a quarterback?
Yeah, the Raiders wound up with Brock Bowers, which was really a surprise because you thought that exactly what Brandon's saying, that they might even move up to get a quarterback. And Denver was in a situation where they had no draft capital to move up. They might have tried to move up for one of the quarterbacks earlier, but it didn't surprise me at all that they jumped when they had the chance because they are desperate.
That smacks of desperation, though, Molly.
I mean, look,
they trade for Zach Wilson. They've got Jarrett Stidham
there. Wilson can't play.
They're stockpiling quarterbacks who can't play. I mean, guys that are Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks. They're paying Russell Wilson still. What are they
King's
paying?
Ransom.
To go away.
$50 million.
You have that cap hit that limits you.
Yep.
And then you've got Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, and now you add Bo Nix. And I hope Bo Nix succeeds. He's an easy guy to like.
He's immediately the starter of those three. He really is.
I think they better be.
Yeah.
You draft a quarterback 12.
Quarterbacks went right off the board. Really interesting.
The development plan for different franchises varies because you look at Sean Payton, he may have a different thing in mind, kind of a gradual ascent. You wonder about Minnesota as much as J.J. McCarthy. I think this is a warm, soft quarterback nest for him to go into. Is he going to be the day one starter? I don't know. Sam Darnold is still there.
Yeah, I hope he's not. I think the best thing for him would be kind of gradually taking over. That's what I'm saying. He goes in where they do have a starting quarterback mm-hmm. ahead of him. Not a good one, but a guy that you heard his name before, was once highly thought of. So you got a coach. Yeah, I mean, we can argue who has the best landing spot among the quarterbacks, but I think it comes down to two guys. It's either the Bears with Caleb Williams or it's J.J. McCarthy. And there might be no pressure on J.J. because he doesn't have to start immediately, whereas this is Caleb's team.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt it's the Bears with Caleb Williams. And I don't think it's just a provincial point of view. When you look at the weapons that they now have surrounded him with, they have three quality wide receivers. They've got Swift in the backfield, and you've got an offensive line that, you know, I think may have some question marks still. And maybe that's the one. But you do have everything conducive for Caleb Williams to take over immediately and to succeed because of where he is relative to where the other quarterbacks are coming into the he's more NFL ready than anybody else drafted last night.
And I'm not arguing that fact. I'm just saying when you talk about what is the best landing spot, you're talking about Jefferson, Jordan Addison.
Good point.
They signed Aaron Jones, Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah,
that's as big a deal as anything. You know, we're hoping Shane Waldron is going to be that guy, right? We're hoping.
I think that's true. A lot of people learning more about Shane Waldron in the last couple of days, and I think it puts a little bit more pressure on him. But Molly, I guess the point would be, I really like J.J. McCarthy as a NFL quarterback. I loved him in college. I think the intangibles are off the charts. I don't know yet.
Oh, he's got a year.
About what he's going to be like as an NFL passer.
Is it fair and accurate?
And I think all I'm trying to say politely is that we know more about Caleb Williams' ability to thrive or to excel in those type of situations than we do about J.J. McCarthy throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I'm just saying from a pure landing spot standpoint, the coach might make the difference there.
Kevin O'Connell's a more proven play caller and quarterback developer than Shane Waldron. Absolutely true.
Or plus, Matt Eberflus.
And this is what I loved about the Ryan Poles press conference last night, and we will – get to this later, but when he was asked about, you know, well, what about the history and all the things that we talk about, and mm-hmm. he was like, you know what, we got to move on. It's time to move on. The history is the history. You can't do anything about it, but stop talking about the history, because That is the theme from Thursday night, and that is the theme of the offseason. I don't care. They don't care that they've never had a 4,000-yard passer.
They got one now.
They don't care that Justin Fields didn't fit and they were bad with Mitch and what Jay Cutler didn't do.
Irrelevant.
Everything's about looking forward, not looking back.
Totally true. Totally true. And again, you know, I thought the kid carried himself. There's a charisma to him that you can feel. There is a confidence that you can feel. And I feel as if adding the wide receiver, it just gives him a classmate and a teammate and a guy he started a mutual admiration society with. Keenan Allen is going to be huge in this deal, no doubt about it. And DJ Moore, as underrated a wide receiver as there is in the entire National Football League, that's a great room now. Mm-hmm. The receiver room, you look at the guys they were leaning on and what they were hoping for, it's a totally different deal now. You really have a lot of potential for, you know, I mean, you look at what's going on in San Francisco, where Brandon Ayuk, are they going to keep him? Are they going to let him go? He's developed into one of their best players. He wasn't their best player to start with, but he's totally developed into that, and that's what Roma Dunze has in front of him. He may be secondary for a year or two, but eventually he's going to be the man here. It's a great pick. He's a really good receiver who's only going to score touchdowns for you. That guy contested balls. Did you see all those statistics?
He's got the size, 6'3", 215. He's got the speed. He runs 4.45, and he's got the hands to win those contested battles, the 50-50 balls, yes, if you will. He knows how to get open, and that's only going to become more easy for him once he watches the nuances that Keenan Allen uses on a regular basis, that DJ Moore uses with that explosiveness. In some ways, you know, he is a combination of the both. What we know of Roma Dunze, the way that he has run routes in college or what he's known for, he can be called the technician. He also is explosive with his athleticism the way that DJ Moore is. So you have the explosiveness of DJ Moore, the technical prowess of Keenan Allen, and you've got a rookie that probably combines the best of both of them.
And is going to learn from them and is going to, you know, he's a good kid. He's a hardworking kid. I think that the Bears hit it out of the park. I think they did a great job of holding their water, not trying to get more than they were given, accepting what the draft gods laid out in front of them. And it's a hard thing to do.
Yep.
It's easy to claim, oh, yeah, well, of course you sit there and you take that guy. They only have 4 picks in the whole draft. Now, they used them all to help better their team, and their team is better.
They've
so.
Got two left. They've got two left, 75 and 122, I believe. But
that's right.
Regardless of what happens with those two picks, I think you wake up this morning after experiencing last night.
They're
and as Dave Wannstedt said, we heard it during the end of the pregame show, the Bears can believe and legitimately say today when they talk again, this is a playoff team.
Yeah.
This is a playoff team, and that should be the goal in 2024. They have greater goals and broader ambitions down the road because your Super Bowl window just got opened with Caleb Williams' arrival. But this next year is a playoff team, and you want to hold them to that standard.
312-644-6767. We got people already want to check in. We're going to get to all your calls before we get out of here, but we've got the pick six next. We'll tear apart all the stories of the day. Obviously, we're talking about them already. It's a draft morning. It is a glorious celebration of what happened last night here on Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 of the score.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
What was your reaction, the most important thing you heard from Caleb Williams saying last night after he was drafted by the Bears? Was it a perfect night for Williams, or was there something you would have changed?
You know, I thought it went pretty well. I thought it was cool. His folks both started crying. You know, he kept his composure, but his dad had tears rolling down his eyes, as you would if you saw something like that with your child. Just the fact that they had a plan on him being the number one pick and that it worked and all that. And I read the USA Today story yesterday about his high school career and, you know, they're in COVID year. he winds up, he went to this Gonzaga college prep school in Washington, D.C., and he ended up going to Oklahoma and finishing up his final class while an early entry student at Oklahoma. So that's kind of cool that he's, you know, zooming from the football facility at Oklahoma to finish up his college career while he's already enrolled at Oklahoma. I thought that was a neat little thing. I like the way I tell you what. I mean, is it a perfect night? Should he have thanked this guy or that guy? I'm not going to pick it apart like that. I thought the vibe was fantastic. I think the Bears got themselves a really good player, and I think that he's totally committed to football, and that's really all that matters. All that matters now is that he gets to Chicago and he begins his work, and it's his life's work, and if he's serious about getting the titles and all the things he envisions for himself, that's going to come with putting your nose in the playbook, getting that thing down, and spending every waking moment lifting, hitting it, learning, getting better. You know, you got to have a little humility when you first go into the locker room. I know there are concerns about that. I wouldn't worry about it. I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I really liked everything about last night. It was great. I loved his reaction to getting picked number one, getting picked by the Bears. If you think back, I know Justin Fields is out of here, but if you remember how awkward that was, he was almost like no reaction when he got picked by the Bears and like put the hat on, was like, okay, am I on TV right now? Okay. And then I loved his reaction to Rome Odunze. We got our guy.
Yes.
Sneaking around, already being a prankster. It loved all
on
that.
On the Zoom. Yeah. That moment in the backstage.
Yeah, I loved all of that. I mean, I don't know if I would have changed anything. Nothing. It was absolutely perfect.
It depends on where you watched it because there were different broadcasts. Yeah. But he goes charging up to the stage. Like he's walking quickly out to the stage. And they said I think it was the ABC broadcast, and they said he's just going to walk right down 94 to Chicago. Like he had that look like he's on his way.
He's on his way, and he is on his way. The express lane back to respectability, I guess, if you're the Bears. I thought the one thing you're going to remember for me was that when he's walking on the stage, he lets out this primal yell.
Right.
And it's just so much excitement that overcame him. And I felt like in that moment you saw his raw enthusiasm for what's ahead of him, for joining the Bears. And I thought made all this stuff about, well, he's reluctant. He's not reluctant. He's an eager participant. He's excited. And that primal yell was what every Bears fan was feeling. It's like, let's go. It's time. And it's been long enough. And he has arrived. So I think that was one of the moments. Also, you know, when he was interviewed, and these are things that you remember too. He said, what's the first thing you want to do? I want to learn all my teammates' names. And I want to and their families. And I think his consistent theme is that he wants to be a good teammate. He understands what it takes to be a good leader. This guy is easy to like, and Chicago will love him eventually if they don't already. You saw then, you know, NFL Network does, or I think it was NFL.com, put something on the Instagram account or the social media feed about his mom's testimony as he's wearing the earphones and he's hearing that, and you see him break down in tears again. These are emotional moments for the families. Mel, you said that the first reaction stuck with you about seeing his mom and dad. And I think Caleb Williams has a lot of depth, and I think he has a lot of range of emotions we're going to see, good and bad. And just enjoy the ride, because this is going to be so much fun. The fun is back in watching the Bears.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
The voice of Brad Biggs is here at 7 a.m. Biggs time. How do you anticipate Rome Odunze fitting into the Bears' offense? And does a team that struggled passing the ball now have a nice problem on their hands in trying to figure out how to keep three quality receivers happy? How do they do that?
It's a good question. Shane Waldron has a great problem on his hands, and you worry if you tend to be a worrywart. I think people are. What happens if Keenan Allen only gets three targets in the first two games? What happens if DJ Moore doesn't have 1,200 yards again? He's only getting 995. Why is Rome Odunze getting all the touches? Is it because he's a rookie and his buddies with Caleb Williams? these are questions that come up in an NFL season, and these are things that they're going to have to iron out. The beauty of Verome Adunze, though, is I think that they will feel the flexibility to use him in different spots. Don't make the offense so difficult to grasp schematically that you can't take a rookie and say, you're in the slot here, you're going to play outside on that down, and you move him around as best you can. I think NFL teams use three wides a lot. And three wides with Cole Kmet, maybe both your tight ends. I don't know what the configuration will be. But Shane Waldron does have a luxury right now. The luxury is figuring out a way to keep everybody happy. That's something that every offensive coordinator should want to have to do or be tasked with. This is a great problem. I'm not worried about, you know, dissension. I'm not worried about all those things. Right now, it's all about appreciating what you have because you've never had it like this before.
Yeah, great problem to have. Great luxury item. Focus is now on Shane Waldron. There's no doubt about that. And our guy, DJ Moore, I mean, he is the farthest thing from a wide receiver diva.
Right.
I mean, he just does right. not. I don't know Keenan Allen well enough. I think Keenan Allen is teetering on one of those give me the damn ball kind of wide receivers. I do think that he wants that. That's okay. And I think he can also, Verome Adunze can learn from these guys. And again, going back to how about the fact that the four of these guys have already worked out together. They've already worked out together. That is
awesome. Yeah, yeah. I mean, may they always have this kind of problem. honestly, it's a great group of receivers. That room is loaded, and I think that you want to know who's going to get the ball. It's the guy that makes the most clutch catches, whoever that might be, and the fact that they've got a guy like that all over the field. When the quarterback drops back, he doesn't have to look for one guy because you've got three professional wide receivers that are really skilled and excellent players, and they all got yak to them. They all not only catch the ball. Watch Keenan Allen. You know, he's a first down waiting to happen. He comes out of the slot. He catches the ball. Then he turns upfield, and he gets you 5 extra yards. We know DJ can break any catch into a touchdown. He's built like that. And Odunze is a guy that powers for the ball and is going to get some yards after the catch, too. I'm telling you, they've got a really – this is as good a group of wide receivers as you're going to see in the league. Are they going to fight for the ball? Are they going to get enough attempts? That's down to the way the offense then is put together and whether they can keep getting first downs and keep moving the ball, and I think they're going to. I think this is an excellent problem to have. Trying to figure out who's going to get the ball and how many times.
Because they got a quarterback that who gets the ball? The open guy gets the ball.
That's the point. And I think, in order to improve as a football team, this puts you over the top. This adds one more, and it gives you cover, and it gives you weaponry, and you still have two tight ends, not just one, and you still have a running back out of the backfield that can make a big play. I'm telling you, The weaponry here is laudable.
It's a good question.
When did the NFL draft throw its first curveball? What was the first move in the NFL draft that genuinely surprised you?
Well, I mean, we kind of talked about it, right? I don't know if it's even surprised. That was stunning. That was stop the draft. I got to get off. When Atlanta took Michael Penix Jr., I mean, Atlanta paid through the nose for Kirk Cousins. And we were all wondering, oh, wow. And then all you heard is, well, they got to get a defensive player. They got a defensive-minded coach. You know, maybe that's where Murphy goes, get a guy inside that fits that scheme. No, they need an edge guy. Are they going to take Dallas Turner there? There was a lot of rumors and a lot of conflicting sort of information. I don't think anybody thought that they were going to take a player that doesn't contribute next year. And you know, listen, the old adage in the NFL has always been the same. You take a quarterback when you don't need one. Make sure you take a quarterback when you don't have to have one. And that, you know, look at the Green Bay Packers and that long line of succession that they've gone through. They've done that. And that's a great way to go about your business. It's just for a team in a division with a quarterback on a effectively a two-year deal. You're paying through the nose for him. The guaranteed money is 2 years. You thought for sure that they were going to be trying to win the division and win right now, and instead they went a different direction. So will it work? Well, I mean, not for this quarterback, but maybe eventually it will work. It was crazy, man. That is some – that's not outside the box thinking. That is that's just sort of – they're in a different draft. They're like they have they're a year ahead of themselves.
I mean, that was arguably the biggest, and it helped the Bears, obviously. I mean, we had talked about yesterday a little bit, like, should the Bears or will the Bears have to trade up a spot to make sure nobody jumps into that Atlanta spot to get Roman Dunze? You know, we talked about that. But I could go all the way back to the Patriots pick. Not that they pick quarterback, they obviously need it, but that, like, based on the fact that six quarterbacks went in the first round yesterday, right, that there wasn't more buzz for that particular quarterback. And this is also, like, a really bad situation. Like, I'm just saying, New England needs a lot of things.
But they might have traded out of that pick, Dustin, if the offer had been good. What you heard earlier in the day is that nobody was giving them the kind of offer
hoping to get. And what does that say about Drake May? Does that mean that people weren't in love with Drake May? And then we just move down a little bit more, that the New York Giants are sticking with their quarterback.
That was wild.
And they went with the wide receiver because J.J. McCarthy, he said he thought he was going to New York, that the Giants made him believe that he was going to be their selection. And then Neighbors goes ahead and goes there. That was wild. And I don't know what the Raiders are doing. They don't need another tight end. They took Myers last year, the kid from Notre Dame, in the second round early. You play in the AFC West. You got to stop somebody. It's a video game out
there. Look at the quarterbacks. Look at the quarterbacks they're facing.
What I mean. How are you stopping them?
Can they match up to them, though? Right. I mean, I thought for sure they'd make a move for a quarterback.
So you sign a 35-year-old quarterback, and you guarantee him $100 million. You are announcing your intentions to win now. You have got to do everything else after you make that decision, if you're the Falcons and you sign Kirk Cousins, to win now, to give him a chance to succeed immediately. The Falcons didn't do that when they surprised everybody by drafting Michael Penix Jr. This wasn't outside the box. This was inside a fog. This was the dumbest move of the first round. And I think you could defend the Broncos going after Bo Nix. I think it was a reach. I think you could understand maybe the Bills trading twice and moving down and accumulating picks, even though I think they passed on a wide receiver they could have drafted, and they made the Chiefs better, which I don't think is a good idea in the AFC. But hands down, the curveball that was in the dirt and bouncing away from the catcher was thrown by the Atlanta Falcons, who now can add to the mix passing on Bill Belichick, signing a gimpy Kirk Cousins and guaranteeing him $100 million, and drafting the quarterback that nobody thought would go in the top 10. Congratulations, Atlanta Falcons. You have lost the draft.
If they had hired Bill, and he's not going to be a personnel guy, he said he was just going to coach the team. Do they make that move?
No. No, right?
No way.
These are the questions I cannot answer, right?
All right, that's Olin Krutz. Olin's here at 8:25 this morning to react to the Bears, taking somebody from his alma mater, Washington, the University of Washington.
Yeah.
What did you make of an opening round of the NFL draft in relation to the Bears' opponents in the NFC North? Did the Bears close the gap on the Lions and the Packers? How about the Vikings? How would you rate the NFC North's drafts in order?
Well, that's a good question, especially after the first round. I think that let's start from the back. The Packers drafting an offensive tackle, I think that's good for Jordan Love and on brand for Matt LaFleur, but I don't think that you're going to, I don't think you had a hard time sleeping because you were so excited in Green Bay because they went out and they got Jordan Morgan from Arizona. All right, that was the 25th pick of the draft. If you're the Lions, I don't think you slept at all in Detroit because you were partying. You were catching up with Aiden Hutchinson, whatever club he was at, and you were just excited because they also moved up. They made a good football decision last night. They move up to 24 and they get Terrion Arnold, a good, solid Alabama cornerback from a school and a program that produces good ones. But this is between the Vikings and the Bears. And the Vikings really replace Kirk Cousins and Danielle Hunter with J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner. And I think they did a very smart job. And I think they gave up what they needed to give up to kind of replace those two key spots with cheaper, younger, they won't say better because they're not better yet, but younger right. and cheaper options. But the Bears won the draft in the NFC North in the first round, what we know right now. The Bears put themselves in a position to close the gap on the Lions, to close the gap on the Packers, and to stay ahead of the Vikings. The Bears became a playoff team with the first round draft picks, and that to me says they had the best draft of any NFC North team.
Bears had the best draft by far. They might have had the best draft of anybody. The Vikings are close. We're going to find out. I mean, I think for J.J. McCarthy, it's a great landing spot. Yeah. Compared to landing in New England with the Patriots, this is a great spot. You got Justin Jefferson.
Or the Giants.
Well, but I think that would have been a good show. I like Brian Daboll. I think Brian Daboll is a really good coach. I think that's a better spot than New England. Arguably, the Vikings got the best defensive play. I don't like with all due respect to Coach Dave Wannstedt, who's forgotten more about football than I'll ever know, even though I think I know a lot about football. But this Latu guy, who do you think he reminds me of? Okay. I mean, you're talking about another track athlete. I mean, when you're watching the highlights last night on NFL Network or the four-letter network or the three-letter network of Latu, because you're finally waiting for that defensive player to get picked, I mean, like, all his highlights, like, he never gets blocked.
Who does he remind you of? Tell me. I don't want to read your mind.
Come on.
I can't read your mind. Leonard Floyd?
Hashtag anybody but Floyd. He is Leonard Floyd 2.0.
Like, no.
He's a track athlete.
That's a hard time.
Leonard Floyd probably play the run better. If Latu's out there, I run right at that guy and run him over.
He's a tough player, Dustin. I think you're giving him much
credit. And he's hurt, and he's too surgery, and he's too Hollywood. Anyway, good luck.
Wow, that's crazy.
He's gonna love Indianapolis. He'll fit right in.
That guy's gonna work
you're
like a.
So wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong about him. At any rate, back to the question, which is, did the Bears? Where are the Bears in the? How did the division do? Better than I wanted them to. Let's put it that way, right? I think that, I'll go with the Packers in last place because I think Jordan Morgan, I think it's a good pick, you know? The NFL draft is the dance of the elephants, right? Didn't George Young say that? You need to get building blocks, and they got one, and that'll help them moving forward. That's a good pick for them, especially with, you know, losing a really good player. Off their offensive line, an aging player that was done there in Bakhtiari, but you got a guy now that's a pretty good young player. We'll see. I don't know that he's the immediate impact. I think Detroit, they got themselves a starter to a defense that didn't really need a starter. And I think that kid, if I'm not mistaken, had some interceptions while at Alabama, and I think he can make some plays, and I think that really helps their back end. So congratulations to them. I thought the Vikings worked their tails off and did a hell of a job. Those are two really good players. To get a quarterback that a lot of people feel is like a real sleeper in this draft and a guy that you don't have to play immediately, a guy you can work with, you got good receivers, you got a new running back, you got a hell of a coach there. That guy's a good coach. He's going to work with them. And then your defense – think about how their defense played and how aggressive they had to be and how blitzing they had to be. And now, you know, Brian Flores gets a guy that he can line up.
How do he feels?
I think he feels like he hit a lotto.
And because of him, you feel like that's an even better pick.
Exactly. So I think that that's a really good thing. But the Bears won the draft. The Bears won it because they got the quarterback, the gift of a huge, tremendous deal, as it turns out, gives you your franchise quarterback, and then they got him a weapon, a great player who fell into their hands, a guy who's been compared with the likes of Davante Adams and Keenan Allen, who they also have, and of course there was a reference to Fitz, which really excited me. I'm delighted with the draft the Bears had, and I think they won it And they did so by just taking what the gods gifted them.
Can I ask you guys a question?
That's the voice of Stacey Dales. We hope to hear from her before 10 o'clock this morning. She's covering the Bears for the NFL Network up at Halas Hall. What team won the first round of the NFL draft? And what team or teams lost it or raised an eyebrow the most?
Well, I mean, the winner of the draft is the Bears because they got two premium players out of the top 10, and they didn't outthink it. They did a great job of just sitting there. You know, if Caleb Williams is as good as we hope him to be, listen, offense went crazy. Quarterbacks, people went crazy. They all went, and they all went early. It was crazy how quickly all of these quarterbacks were off the board, and the Bears had the first choice and arguably got the best one, so they should feel great about that. They got more weaponry, so they got the guy a lot of good things. They've already improved some of their protection in the offseason. We'll see how that works out. But, you know, we've been talking about it already, that you're talking about a team that that has the possibility of making the playoffs. That is the expectation now, that they're going to be that good. So we'll find out. Losers of the draft, there were a few different losers, I think, all the way around. I'm confounded by Buffalo. Stephon Diggs leaves. They let him go, and they don't replace him. And they let one of their greatest AFC opponents pick up the speedster that will make them better and make them harder to beat given their quarterback situation. I didn't get that at all. I didn't understand why they didn't want to get it. I mean, I guess they needed the night to see who's left and how they're going to approach it because they got the first pick of the second round, and that's a valuable one. Maybe someone wants to trade for that. It's a deep receiver class. There could be someone that they like that they're going to go for, but I thought that was insane. I didn't get that at all. There were a couple of really big-name guys available to them, and they didn't grab at it, and I was confused by it. And I just am still trying to figure out what Atlanta's thinking. I just don't get that. I mean, why go out and spend the money for Kirk Cousins if you feel, well, you know, this probably isn't going to work. We better cover ourselves.
Bears win, Raiders lose, Giants raise an eyebrow.
Bears won the draft. They had the best night of any team that drafted last night because they got two players that are going to be a big part of a playoff push immediately from day one. Both guys could be considered day one impact starters. I already said what I said about the Falcons. Ripping them again seems redundant. The Broncos, I'm not quite sure what they're thinking, and the Bills passed up a chance to get a wide receiver to replace Stephon Diggs. But there were a couple things that I did like in terms of sneaky good picks, and I'm going to go to the Colts. I'm going to go opposite Dustin, shocking, that when they take a chance on Latu, this is big bust or boom, but I think that he could be really good. And because he is athletic, and Latu is somebody who could be a specialist. If he stays healthy, that's going to be a steal. I think the Fashanu going to the Jets to protect Aaron Rodgers at 11 was a smart pick. Byron Murphy, 16, to the Seahawks. We talked a lot about him, thought that maybe the Bears could justify him at 9. That's a good value pick at 16. And then I think the Kansas City Chiefs, two-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, getting the fastest player in the draft, trading up to get him. The last time they traded up for a player was Patrick Mahomes. They know what they're doing there. Xavier Worthy from Texas, 21 years old. That was a sneaky good pick.
Colts, boy, that's a good question.
Colts got their Dwight Freeney.
What?
Colts got their Dwight Freeney.
No shot. What did you make of the Cubs completing the sweep of the Astros with a 3-1 victory fueled by PCA's first MLB hit, a two-run game-winning home run? Was he your star of the game, or are you throwing some glory at the youngster Hayden Wisniewski? Great in another relief appearance.
Well, you know I love Wisniewski. I love the Wisnasty stuff is back, but this was PCA day. This was the day to celebrate. He'll always remember. We'll never forget. We'll never forget how he hit the ball out of the ballpark for his first major league hit, but we'll also never forget how it sounded because Zach Zaidman delivered. This guy, Zach, did a great job with PCA's first home run, and the Cubs, how in the world did they sweep the Astros? Belly's out. Suzuki's out. Steele's out. Everybody's out, except the Cubs keep winning. PCA Day at Wrigley Field. That was a lot of fun.
That was quite a lot of fun, especially after the end of the show yesterday when I was getting beat up about PCA and my prediction on him from a while back. But yeah, it was good that he got that out of the way. And, you know, the other thing that's interesting is how embraced he was by his teammates. You know, a lot of times you see where, like, they ignore, there's the old baseball tradition, like, you ignore it, his first hit, his first home run. I mean, the embrace that he got from a couple of veterans really was cool, I thought. And, you know, he's a showman. Maybe a little too much flair, maybe a little too much bat flip or bat slam for me on that home run. But it does end up being the game winner, and the Cubs are moving in the right direction. And Hayden Wisniewski looked good, and I think that means that we're going to see David's guy starting Saturday afternoon or Saturday night out in Boston.
Who's that?
Ben Brown.
Okay.
They use Ben Brown.
How
they
did
used,
you give him Ben Brown?
I have a couple guys.
He's been Mr. Ben Brown.
No, no. I was Ben Brown. He's Cade Horton. We had this conversation at the
beginning
of
the year. I said Ben Brown has arrived.
You did say he had arrived after.
I know, then, I have PCA. That's what I know. I
chastised
PCA.
Me. He says, you say a lot of guys arrive.
Wow. Congratulations, Dustin. Congratulations. you're still going to wish Connor Bedard was your guy, and you're still going to wish that Caleb Williams finishes ahead of him. But PCA got it done yesterday, and it was great. And, Zach, I was listening to the radio, and that one was a phenomenal call. We'll play it for you. It was just great. I'm proud of Zach. He does a wonderful
That's
job.
That's a wow!
It was a wow, no question about it. And I got to tell you, great for PCA. It was wonderful. You know, Bellinger's down. So far, so good. We'll see. That's all I can say. 312-644-6767. The extra point is next. It's Mully. It's Haw at Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 to score.
Well, my prediction is going to be PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong. So a Cubs outfielder will be the biggest star in Chicago by the year 2028.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What did we learn about Ryan Poles on draft night? Was his third NFL draft easily his best, or is it too early to conclude that? Where is your confidence level with Poles?
I don't think there's ever been a time since Ryan Poles has arrived where Bears fans have had any more reason to believe that he can do the job. I think what we saw last night was the growth of an executive who didn't feel the need to prove anything except for that he understood what the opportunity was. He understood what he needed to do, and more importantly, he understood what not to do. And that was, no, you don't need to accumulate assets. No, you don't need to trade down. You don't need to trade up and give up any more that you don't have because you don't want to overreact to any situations. You stay put, you be patient, and you execute the plan. And if the plan was on Thursday night, April 25th, in the first round of the NFL draft to restore the Bears to respectability or to give them a path and clear the pathway to get there, he succeeded. He succeeded, and what we learned about Ryan Poles also later, and we'll listen to the audio throughout the show, but he's done talking about the past. He's done talking about the Bears' tortured history of the quarterback position. It really does have no relevance to what's going on with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams does not relate to what went wrong with Cade McNown or Rex Grossman or Jay Cutler or Mitch Trubisky or Justin Fields for that matter. Doesn't matter. Those days are gone. The best is yet to come. The better days are ahead. And you can say that because Ryan Poles is here and Caleb Williams is on the way. He'll be here later today. Oh, yeah, by the way, he's bringing Rome Odunze. That's why the Bears won the draft.
Well, this is now Ryan Poles' team. This is his team. He has his new QB1. He has also hitched his wagon to this head coach. He is hitching his wagon to this offensive coordinator to lead his new prized possessions on offense. Let's see. I'm really curious, guys, tonight in the third round. They've got a pick. Is there any chance they trade up? What do you know? Are they sticking offense? Does he go ahead and say to his head coach, who's defensive minded, okay, here you go. It's your turn. You pick who's on the board that you want, that you think can help you either in a rotational situation. Do they address the pass rusher? But the bottom line is this is now officially Ryan Poles' football team. This is his group. This is his team. And now all eyes and the heat are on them.
Yeah, I got to tell you, this is definitely his team now, and this is it's win time, and this is by far his best draft. And let's hope that they got two multipliers out of the two picks that they took. You got two of the top 10 players in the NFL draft, including the number one choice, and I think you got multipliers. I think you are going to enhance the players around you with these guys. I think you got stronger. I think your receiving core is as strong as any in the league. And I really think that the Bears, now it's win time. It just comes down to, you know, I mean, hey, you said it. They hung on to the coach. Not saying the coach can't win, but they hung on to the coach. And that means that this is, we know what we're going to see. Shane Waldron, it's on him now. And here's hoping that he's good enough that he gets a head coaching job after next year, and they got to redo it and put it back together again. Because you do not have anyone else that's going to be running this offense. The shift, the focus shifts to Shane Waldron and what he can do and how quickly he can do it, how good his relationships are, and his crew kind of taking over now, and we'll see what this offense looks like. They've got a lot of possibilities, but we've got to see it in action. I mean, honest to God, David, I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound idiotic. The ball should not hit the ground.
I know.
I mean, with this group of receivers.
You're not going to hear reports of 7-on-7s looking like high school sessions.
Exactly.
You're not going to hear any of that kind of scuttlebutt.
You're not going to be sailing the ball over guys' heads in the 7-on-7 draft.
Guys who started working out in April before the draft, typically you're going to have a rapport develop quickly and easily, and they're going to make it look like you have a passing game that is modern and is dangerous. And this is modern and dangerous. The Bears are really coming at it in a way they never have before. You look at having three guys. We can talk about tandems. We mentioned, you know, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. They were prolific. I don't know that the Bears have ever had a trio of wide receivers.
Never.
Like this.
Never. Never. At any point in their history have they had three better wide receivers on their team than these.
So that's what we're talking about. You're entering unprecedented territory almost with every step that you make and every direction you go. And I do wonder the head coaching thing, the offensive coordinator thing is a broader conversation, because you always wonder when you get a player the way of like Caleb Williams, the way that he is described and discussed, is the power of that potential greater than any kind of negative impact that some coaches could have? You know what I mean? Could you succeed? Could he be good anyway? Could he be the quarterback that he is going to become, regardless of what kind of head coach Matt Eberflus is or isn't, or what kind of play caller Shane Waldron is? They're important jobs, no doubt about it. But I just wonder, we talked about this a little bit the other day, how much will they actually matter if Caleb Williams is as good as everybody says?
Well, I mean, not to use a basketball analogy, but Michael Jordan might have been the greatest offensive player in the history of basketball. He could literally score from any spot anytime he wanted to, and they had to figure out how to get him to play in a system to take advantage of that. And he did. He would acquiesce and let people go, and then at the end of the game, he'd take over and he'd win the game for you.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, more than anything else, you now have a guy that can win a game late. You now have a guy, you now have a receiving core that can produce late in games. This should translate to victory on the field. That's what you're looking for now, and that's why Shane Waldron is front and center. Let's see it.
Yep, let's see it.
That's all.
They have a good chance of passing the Dave Wannstedt test. You're down by 10 with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Do you trust this passing game to be able to come back? Right now, you'd say, yeah,
Well, they got the players to do it.
Let's see. Yeah.
Yeah. No question about it. Fantastic, fantastic thing to discuss and talk about and to kind of fantasize about. We're going to get to your phone calls. What did you think of the Bears draft? 312-644-6767. How good are these receivers going to be? Is there any hesitation with anything that you saw, or are you now willing to just get on board and kind of follow what happens? 312-644-6767. Are you excited for the 2024 season? Are you shot out of a cannon, kind of fueled by tequila like we seem to be? It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I think you just kind of wanted to get a feel for everybody in the organization. What were we about in terms of, like, what's our direction? What's our North Star? How are we going to get there? And I think through our actions, we've shown that. And, you know, history's the history. Like, I'm kind of done talking about it. Like, we go back so much all the time, and that those days are over. So we're bringing players in here that want to really just change everything up and do things a different way. Obviously, we love our history here, but it hasn't been smooth recently, and it's time to change. So I feel like we got to stop going back all the time.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's Ryan Poles. And that's important stuff that he's saying, and I hope the Bears are listening.
I love that.
It's great to celebrate your championships in the 1940s, but hey, what the hell's been going on against Green Bay of late, right?
Exactly.
You are losing that series that you had dominated for so many years. They got a coach that beat you, whatever it is, every year he's been there.
8-0.
8-0.
At least, I think he's 8-0.
Wow. And so you got to stop that.
Stop that, but also stop the connecting of previous quarterbacks' failures or lack of success and not meeting expectations with what to expect from Caleb Williams.
And it's the boogeyman position. Let's not pretend it isn't. But just because every move they've made has failed doesn't mean this move fails. And this is different because this is the first move. This is the guy. They got a choice of all these players, and they took it. So let's hope they made the right choice. Period, end of story.
Yeah.
Let's hope he is what he purports to be.
And it has nothing to do with the Bears' history. And I think Ryan Poles said that emotionally, and he said that instinctively, and then he realized where he was sitting and how much the people he works for embrace that history.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And package it and sell it.
You got to be careful. All right, we got a lot of people want to check in. Let's get to some calls. Dan's on the road. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
My question for you guys is, how much history does Caleb have playing in cold weather games? Was Notre Dame game in cold weather?
Well,
not really. He talked about that. He grew up in D.C.
He grew up in D.C.
He's played in winter conditions, he said, in Columbus, Ohio, I believe. He's had some situations that certainly not 5 degrees on the lakefront on a Sunday in December, but I do think that he's played in enough conditions that have been challenging that I don't expect that to be a factor.
Roma Dunze is from Las Vegas, and he played at a place called Bishop Gorman. That's the big high school out there, and they just play outside. I read a story with him where he talked about how the conditions were almost cruel. It's like 145 degrees out, and you're out there running around and killing yourself playing football. But the reality is that extreme weather, be it extreme cold or extreme heat, works on the body in the same way. So I don't think that's going to be as big a deal as people have made it out to be. Didn't the Packers long ago dispel this notion that you can't throw the ball in cold weather?
That, as well as you can't win with a quarterback from the West Coast.
There you go. Chris is downstate. Hey, Chris.
Hey, just had a couple of questions.
Sure.
I'm excited about the draft. I love the Adunze pick. I think we need to feather the expectations just because we have to play four games with probably the top 10 teams in the league this coming year. And so my question is what our expectations truly are? Are we looking at a wild card? Is that going to make everybody happy? My other question is let's just say, because he's a rookie quarterback struggle, we go 5-11, 5-12, whatever the schedule looks like. We don't even know what the schedule looks like yet.
Right.
But due to how tough the division is, he goes 5-11. Jaden Daniels makes the playoffs. Do you feel like Williams is the type of personality that can handle the scrutiny that's going to go on? Because I still remember driving to work and hearing, we have a QB1. It's Justin Fields. And I'm a Buckeye fan, so I was excited. But everybody turned on him in the third year or second year pretty quick. What do you think Williams is going to handle that? But I'll sit back.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you. I don't think they're related at all. I think, as Ryan Pohl said, this is a new day. And 5-12 next year, how does Caleb Williams handle the scrutiny? I think he's understanding and he expects that kind of scrutiny and embraces the passion that the fans bring to the table. I don't know about Jaden Daniels making the playoffs. I mean, I'm not sure why somebody would think the Commanders are in a better position to do that than the Bears are.
Yeah, I don't think they are. I don't think that's a good landing spot for them. I think there's a lot of issues out there. I would say that it's a legitimate concern for any NFL player, how they handle adversity. And Caleb Williams, if you look at his career, he's a really good winner, and he can be emotionally destroyed by losing. So you got to be careful with that. I understand that that is a concern. I like guys that don't like to lose. I like guys that get emotional and are mad and are peeved and can really be upset because they lose. Because the whole goal, the whole point of the thing is to win.
Has it ever gotten in the way?
No.
See, that's the thing.
Has it ever
interfered with his focus? And I don't think that it has. And the other thing we have to remember here, as much as we expect a lot out of Caleb Williams, and the Bears certainly do, he's a 22-year-old young man, and he's going to mature.
Yes.
And he's going to get better at handling situations that test his emotions.
He'll be better in the NFL than he was in college. Yeah. He will. He will be better in that situation than he was. Because he'll have different people in his ear, and there'll be things. Listen, this is the beginning of something. Am I sitting here and saying all problems are healed and there won't be any issues? Now's not the time to worry about that.
I don't think it is.
I think you get a little bit excited.
Savor happy.
It. Yes.
Savor this moment. Yeah. Savor this off season and joy.
With the past. I agree.
Yes.
We don't need
this. Doesn't have anything to do.
We don't need to pick apart. Yeah, there's no curse. It's just bad decisions made on some of the people brought
it's
in.
Not a
it's
curse.
Not a curse.
And frankly, the less you talk about the past, the better off it is, because it's irrelevant at this point.
Yeah. And here's hoping that Shane Waldron's going to do a great job and the Bears are going to win, and we'll talk to Biggsy about it. We'll bring in Brett Biggs next. Mully and On the Score.